Oh, Lord. Well, in case some of you wondered what this key thing's all about, I'll just briefly give you a couple of scriptures. The Lord had told me in the mountains, he said, I want you to revisit the kingdom in light of the exchange life. And when I got back and I started studying, the first place I went when Jesus said to Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom. So I started reading that, and he stopped me, or Holy Spirit did, said, I want you to look at that word keys, plural. And I looked at it, and it's the key. It's not plural, it's the key. Amen. And he says, there is a key to the kingdom. And he says, the key to the kingdom is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's in charge of everything that pertains to the kingdom. And then I remembered, you know, when that happens, scriptures. And I remember Jesus said to the Pharisees, it was giving him a hard time. He said, if I by the Holy Ghost cast out devils, the kingdom has come to you.
Yes.
And everywhere he went, he said, and then he said that to Peter. Then what did he say right after that? He says, I give you the key to the kingdom, and whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed. That's the authority of the kingdom that comes with the Holy Spirit and the key. And so you see in John 20:21, he breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. And he says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Go in the power of the kingdom. And so I realized that for years I thought about the keys to the kingdom. Keys. Never did make sense, but that made sense. And when John handed me this picture, I got to come unglued. Because, see, that is the key. The Holy Spirit is the key. Everything the Father has is Jesus. Everything that Jesus had, he has committed to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into those truths. And so we're living in the age of the Holy Spirit. And he said, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I stay here, all you'll have is me. But if I go away, and the Father's going to send you the key to the kingdom. And he's going to be able to release everything I have to you. And that's why it's so important for us to have the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but be in tune with what the Holy Spirit's... You can't have a kingdom culture if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. See, he has to lead and guide us in everything. For you better led of the Spirit, you're sons of God. Amen. Well, I just want to finish up on this. Give me about 20 minutes and we can do that. And we're going to go eat. I can smell it from now. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit because I remember the first message I preached... He stopped me. It was on a Tuesday pastor's meeting as I was walking to the restroom. He said, don't get in a hurry to leave the key.
Amen.
Okay? So it's important. It's like exchange. I can preach that some Sunday and they say, oh, that's cute. And we go on and forget what the key is. But you won't forget what the key is.
Amen.
Because we've been over it enough now. You know the key to the kingdom and everything in it is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to start in about verse, okay, oh, thank you, Lord. Man, that's so good. About verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. Father, thank you for your word. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. Oh, that in the dispensation, the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, and even in him, in whom also you have obtained an inheritance. Say, I've obtained an inheritance. Being predestined or predetermined is that word, according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom also after you trusted, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What were you? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that word sealed there, it does mean a stamp of authenticity. It means that, but it's more than that. It's the same word when they sealed Jesus' tomb where they couldn't get in and out. It means you're protected. You've been protected by the Holy Spirit. You're not only stamped with authenticity, you've been protected by the Holy Spirit. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit as he come, which is the earnest. See, that's that word there is part of the price paid, the earnest money. When you buy a house, you put up earnest money. That money, if you decide to back out, you lose that. That's part of it. The Holy Spirit is a part of that of the inheritance that we have. He is. It's part of our inheritance until we get the whole package. And you know what? He's in charge of the whole package. Not only is he the earnest, he's the one that gives it all us to you as you can receive it, and it's all in him. It's in him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Where'd I get to? Okay, he is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. That word until shouldn't be there. It's in too. Why you want to wait? See, it's another one of them verses that put a little pie in the sky someday, just a few more weary days, and then we'll have it all. No, that is into the redemption of the purchased possession, into the praise of his glory. Amen. What is it there that's about the future? Not now. It's now. Amen. It's yours. It's already been paid for. Matter of fact, he said it's finished and he sat down. Amen? That's what he did. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll see that again. I'm going to start reading. Okay. Oh, I like this. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yet nay, but in him was yea. Not nay, but yea. Say yea. Yea. For all the promises, say all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen to the glory of God by us. Now to him who which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Who hath what? And hath already sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You already have that. It's already been given to you. Amen? That's the record, he says. We have the earnest of the inheritance in us already. He sealed us with it. And you know this, I'm going to go back to Ephesians just a second. Verse 11, Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we obtained an inheritance. An inheritance. Where did we get it? We've obtained an inheritance. You know what? I want you to see that. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things at the counsel of his own will. When you go over here in Ephesians, okay. Let's go over here in verse 17. I want you to see something here. He said here, verse 15 in chapter 1 says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love, I ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, I want you to see something. He has an inheritance in you. It's not that we just have an inheritance in him. When he gives us the earnest of his Holy Spirit, his inheritance is in us. He has an inheritance. What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you? Say in me. Because it's Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. God has an inheritance in you. We have an inheritance in him. That sounds like union, doesn't it? Union. See, he's committed to this thing, guys. And he says, he goes on, and what is exceeding greatness of our power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above. All far above. All principalities, powers, might, and dominions, and not some name, every name that is named not only in this world, but the world which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet. Whose feet? He sat down expecting everything to be put under his feet. All right. And he gave him to be head over all things to you, the church. All things, which is his body. The fullness of him that fills all in all. Is that awesome or what? Now, Ephesians 3. I want to look at this just a second. Ephesians chapter 3. And I want you to see verse 5. He says, he's talking about the revelation he had. Verse 2, it says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words. When you read this, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. How? By the Spirit. Apart from the Spirit, Jesus did nothing apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. Not anything. And neither can apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers. None of us can do one thing apart from the Holy Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me with his effectual working and power. Unto me, whom least of all the saints was this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of that mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ, to the intent now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Principalities and powers and angels and everything else is watching the church. Watching the church to see the revelation that's been given. It's watching the church. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ, in whom we have, say, boldness and confidence by the faith of him. And he says not to faint at his tribulation. But we see one of the things I wanted to look back on. I missed one verse. I think it's in 2. Yeah, let me go back to Ephesians 2. I want you to see here in verse... He talks about we are built upon, verse 20, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, all of it, framed together, groweth into a temple, into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation. That's an into an habitation of God. How? Through the Spirit. I'm telling you, the key is the key. Right. You can't get anything without the key. I mean, the key is the key. And so, when you begin to see that, and then, of course, you go to Romans 8 when you start seeing what the Holy Spirit's job is there in Romans chapter 8. I mean, I can get off the Holy Spirit for a while. Thank you. You know, he says in verse 18, I know we go through things, but he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for a manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. All creation is waiting to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty as children and sons of God. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, have the first fruits of what?
Spirit.
Yeah. Yes. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to win with the redemption of the body. The only thing lacking is this body to be exchanged in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, into his glorious body. It says, for we are saved by hope. I smell meatloaf. Y'all smell that? Does anybody smell that but me? I hear that. I can. All right, I'm
saved by hope.
I'm saved by hope. By hope that seems not hope. For if a man have it, what did it? Okay, I'll read the rest of it.
Actually, Darwin, the reason you're smelling meatloaf is because you're giving us the meat of the word.
Amen. This is. Labor not for that meat that perish, but that meat which endureth eternal life. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. For we are saved by hope, that hopes that is seen is not hope, for what a man see, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, say likewise.
Likewise.
The Holy Spirit, say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit himself maketh intercession for us according to the will of God, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession to God according to his will.
Yes.
So pray in the Spirit.
Yes.
We got situations going on we don't have an answer for.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit knows exactly yes. what's going on.
Yes.
And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to him are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He did predestine or predetermine for them to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen, the Holy Spirit's job come down here is not just to get us to heaven. The Holy Spirit's job is to conform us to the image of God's very Son. Because we are the body of Christ and members one of another. And by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit's job is to take us when we get saved and conform us into the very image of Christ on earth. We are Christ's representative here. Can you see now how the Holy Spirit's been grieved? Because we've made the Christianity is all about just getting born again in the Spirit and going to heaven when you die. No conforming to anything. There is a conforming. I'll get into that next week.
Amen.
Bible says we should walk as he walked.
Yes.
We should talk as he talked.
Yes.
We should live as he lived.
Yes.
We are his epistles known and read of all men. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And you know what's so wonderful? Verse 34, who is it condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, even it makes at the right hand and makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit is interceding. Jesus is interceding for us. How can you lose with a deal like that? Oh, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all along, we are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give me an amen. That's the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. Isaiah 66:13 says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I can't comfort all of you, but I'm going to send one that can.
That's right.
And you will be comforted as a mother comforts her children. Three immediate results of the Holy Spirit coming. Luke 24:45, it says, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. When did that happen? I'll tell you when it happened. John 20:21, when he breathed on them, said, receive you the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. That's when their understanding was opened and they understood the scriptures.
That's right.
You know, when I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, it wasn't tongues that was assigned to me. It was understanding the scriptures.
Yes.
All of a sudden, the veil was lifted from the scriptures and I understood what I was reading. Tongues came, all right, but the biggest witness for me was how the Holy Spirit just began to open the Word of God to me. It was incredible.
Yes.
I spent hours, sometimes all night, didn't I, reading the Word. I'd have to try to get some sleep so I could go to work. Because why? The Holy Spirit was just leading me, guiding me into the truths. That's why he came to lead and guide us in, not to some truth, all truth. But apart from the Holy Ghost, there's no revelation of anything. All you got is religion.
Yes.
And it'll kill you.
Yes.
It killed Jesus and it'll kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, help me, Jesus. Second thing. Before the Holy Spirit came, they were all hiding in fear. Every one of them was hiding in fear. Peter rejected him 3 times. But after the day of Pentecost, it says when they beheld Peter and saw the boldness and the confidence that they saw in Peter, they took knowledge of him because he had been with the Lord.
Yes.
And you know, when they rebuked him, and Peter said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word, and that signs and wonders would be done by the apostles and prophets in your holy name. There was an immediate change in Peter's life.
Yes.
exchange from fear to boldness, confidence. See, that's the thing, this character, this climate you're talking about. It wants you to have boldness. Be willing to make a mistake. Be willing to miss it. Don't be motivated by fear of rejection. But with boldness and confidence are we to move out in this. That's a result of the Holy Spirit. You'll have power. That means. Well, I don't have to tell you what it means. You read it for yourself. Look at Peter's life. Totally different than what he was before. That's a result of the Holy Spirit coming in their life. You see power after the Holy Ghost. Plus the supernatural signs and wonders came with it to confirm the word with signs following. That's what happened. And behold their threatenings and grant to us. And then it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And but great grace was upon all of them. Great grace was upon all of them. And great, they were witness of the resurrection, and great grace was on all of them. Not some of them, all of them were filled again with the Holy Ghost. It's not a one time. Not to be drunk, but be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Whew. See, the writers of the gospel, it wasn't written based on their memories, but the Holy Spirit made sure that every detail was correct. 2 Peter chapter 1. I was reading that one day and it blew my mind. Oh. Peter said here in chapter 1 of 2 Peter 1, 16. For we've not followed cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from heaven, the excellent glory, said that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the mount. Can you imagine that? Being there and seeing all that? But look what he says next. But we have something more sure than that. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as to a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is for any private interpretation. But prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was very active in the Old Testament. Very active all the way through the whole Old Testament. I was thinking when God spoke this, who was I talked about that last week, I think, didn't I? That God, the Holy Spirit, was on all these people he chose to make things. That was the working of the Holy Spirit. So we see that all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Your Bible is God-breathed with the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, I speak, they are spirit and they're life. They're life. Apart from the Holy Spirit, these are just words on a piece of paper. That's all they were to the scribes and Pharisees, something they had in their memory banks. I think of Peter, an old fisherman. Peter, he said, I give you the key. And on the day of Pentecost, he got the key and he opened it up for the church. Day of Pentecost, that old fisherman, when the anointing came down and he says, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by Joel. He said, in that day, I want to pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters and they're going to prophesy. And all my young men, and they're going to see visions, and some of us old men's going to have dreams.
Yes.
Amen. My servants and handmen, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And that was Peter. That was Peter with his boldness. These are not drunk as you think. They're drunk, all right, but not as you think.
Yes.
And you know why? He was standing with the 11. Why would the 11 all and him all sprawled out there like the rest of them? I'll tell you why. Because they already had it.
Yes.
He'd already give it to them. They were just standing up telling them what they already had.
Yes. Oh,
they were just waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. And it did. And that was what happened when the Holy Ghost came on Peter. You know, in Genesis, we have a picture, beautiful picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. Abraham said to his eldest servant, didn't even say who the servant's name was, that ruled over all he had. He said, go into the country, into my kindred, and bring a wife for Isaac, my son. He said, the servant took 10 camels and departed. You know how much a camel can carry? 10 camels full of stuff he carried. 10 camels full he carried. Okay. When the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, he didn't come back empty-handed. So many people, they want to get saved, but they don't want what they want the Holy Spirit, but they don't want anything he has to offer. See, when the servant came and he saw Rebecca, he had already told the Lord, whoever comes out and I ask for a drink of water, and she gives me the drink of water, and she went farther than that. She gave him a drink of water, and she said, let me draw water for your 10 camels. You know how much water a camel can drink? About 40 gallons when he's thirsty. She drew all that water and watered all those camels. She was a pretty tough little gal. But you know what? The servant told of his mission. Her father asked if she would go with him. She said she would. It reminded me of Mary when the angel said unto her what was going to happen. And she said, what did she say? Be it to me according to your word. She said, how will I know? Because I've never known a man. He says, what did he say? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And that thing, that holy thing that's born in you shall be the Son of God. The Holy Spirit's active in every aspect of everything that's going on. And we see that when she said that. She went with him. And he left all those loaded of gifts for the family. And you see, then they set back on a journey back. And I could just imagine as they were coming back when the servant came, says he brought her back and protected her on that journey back. You know, we've been here a while and we're still in the journey, but the Holy Spirit is here to protect us and get us there in the way we're supposed to be. He's leading and guiding us. But you know, as I thought about that, you know, Rebecca had never seen him, never seen Isaac. But I can imagine every night sitting around the fireplace, she would say, tell me about him. Tell me about him. And he would tell her about him. See, the Holy Spirit is here to tell us about him. He'll not speak of himself. But everything he'll speak, he will speak of me. And he'll show you things to come. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, is to prepare the bride for his coming. Why does it say we're to look anxiously at his second coming, his coming? Not to be in fear or panic, but to be expecting him when he comes, looking for him, anxious to see him when he comes. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for. Whew. Yeah. You know, they was coming back, and they was on their way, and it says here that Isaac was in the field. He was looking for them. And when he saw them coming, it says he ran to them, and it says that Rebecca, when she saw Isaac, she lighted off a camel. That's the first place we have cigarettes in the Bible. She lighted off a camel.
That's a strong
concordance, but that's what the King James says. She lighted off the camel. I'm sorry. I just wanted you to chill out a little bit. That's not in my notes, by the way. And she took a veil and covered herself. And Isaac took her into his mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. After his mother's death, she comforted him. Hallelujah. Well, I'm nearly through. You know the scripture in Hebrews 1 through 6 that we read, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Ghost. It's impossible to renew them again into repentance if they shall fall away. But I was looking at that, and some of the footnotes, it says this is an absurdism. What it's saying in line with the rest of what Hebrews says, by one offering he took his sin forever. What it's saying is those who have once been enlightened and been taken of the Holy Ghost, it's impossible for them to fall away. It's absurd to think that could happen. You like that?
Yeah.
I do too. How could it ever happen when you've once tasted and gone into the depths of what this is talking about? Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether be bond or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live in the flesh, you'll die, but if ye through the Holy Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one Spirit. But, beloved, build yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourselves up on the most holy faith. Are you for it or against it? I'm for it. See, this is taking us to a whole nother level. You know, we don't have to apologize for having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's about time we stood up and were bold about who we are and what we're here for. And to be thankful for the Lord. Because we, I mean, I was just thinking about the day I got kicked out of my Fundamental Bible Baptist Church, and the deacons was all standing around me. And they said, you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, if you'll just say it's of the devil, you can stay with us in this church. But if not, you and your family are not welcome here anymore. And I said, well, I don't think I can, because this Bible you gave me, the Scofield Bible, says down at the footnotes, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is ascribing to Satan the works of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe I can do that. I'd been saved maybe a year. You see how serious that is? Jesus said, you can say anything you want to against me or my Father. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, you'll never be forgiven, not in this world nor the world to come. That's all he's asking me to do. I stand. Don't regret my decision one bit. It makes me hungry. I can still smell meatloaf. Father, we just come, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift. God, thanks be unto God for this special, wonderful gift that you've given us. And Lord, we just ask you to bless this food and this fellowship. And I thank you, Lord, for every person here. And Lord, I just thank you for their lives and what they mean to us, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.